Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
It is 5:11. I was just looking at some of our emails that we get here at bobshow@wgnradio.com. This caught my eye right off the bat, and you'll understand why in a second. This is from Dan. Hi, Bob. My brother Patrick, family members, and I are heading to Las Vegas to see the band Chicago Saturday night at the Venetian Hotel Complex. We'll be sure to tell Robert Lamb and the band that, quote, Bob Surratt on WGN Radio starts his morning show every day with, does anybody really know what time it is, end quote. Please let us know if you would like us to give you an update on the show on the air on Monday. We really enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. It's only the beginning. Dan. Well, thank you. Appreciate the kind words, Dan. But what I'd like you to do is not tell anybody in the band that we're using this as the opening theme, because next thing you know, we're going to get a bill and we're going to have to stop using it. So this part about being sure to tell Robert Lamb and the band about the opening theme, No, forget that. If you want to give us an update on the show, that's fine.
Just hope they don't come into town for a concert.
Yeah. Well, odds are they won't be up this early, you know. Or they may be up this late, though. That's the problem. I know, as many people around here do, Pete Chivarelli pretty well, the band's manager for decades. I think he'd be okay with it. But I don't want to push it. You know what I mean?
I think we pay some sort of licensing, general blanket licensing fee to be able to use all kinds of music. So I don't know that we'd be in trouble for that. Maybe we would, but I doubt it.
I'll be honest, I needed you to talk about it for me to put two and two together with the song because of what time it is right now, Bob. So, thank you.
Well, you're not used to these hours. Dave Bennett is on a basketball assignment. He's got a Northwestern game. Oh, wait a minute. Is it tonight?
It was last night. Last night. Dave is still up there putting the pieces together for the Cat season. He'll be back, I believe, tomorrow.
They lost again last night?
They lost again. They're 2-17 in the Big Ten. It's been a rough go for the Cats this year, but the future is bright. A lot of young talent over there. So
we're focused on Illinois around here now. Illinois basketball.
Illinois could end up tied for the top of the Big Ten conference. They got two games to go. So
yes.
They're playing tonight, aren't they?
They are playing. I just looked at it. It's today the 5th. If it is, they are playing tonight.
Yes,
that is correct.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the morning shift.
Who are they playing,
Mr. Carmen?
Illinois is playing a great basketball team tonight, Mary.
Oh, but we don't know how great they are.
We know they're playing at Ohio State. I just had to pull it up there.
Yikes!
Be a challenge. Two tough games for the Illini to close out the regular season portion of the schedule. Tonight, a dirty little secret in the rideshare industry. How often are bed bugs lurking in the back seat? WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
5:19. Hope you're done with your breakfast. WGN-TV's Courtney Guzman is with us. Courtney, did I see you on Channel 9 downtown this morning?
Yes, actually, I was just trying to get my breakfast on, and you were talking about bed bugs here.
Sorry about that, yeah.
Yes, I'm actually here outside of CPS headquarters this morning. We're talking about these new guidelines that CPS released Tuesday to parents when it comes to coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. So they're asking parents to keep their kids home if they notice the symptoms of coronavirus, coughing, fever, and, of course, respiratory illness and trouble breathing. They're saying that they're really trying to prevent the spread of this virus within the school district, this, of course, being the largest school district in the state. And they're also saying if you travel to any of those areas that are that have had widespread transmission, they're asking you to stay at home for, get this, 14 days. That's the incubation period for COVID-19. And as you know, it spreads from person-to-person contact. Now, the good news in all of this is that CPS is saying that if you do miss school or work because of this, these new guidelines that have come down for COVID-19, those absences will be marked excused. They're also saying they're going to ask students to ramp up their hand washing, cover their coughs, and prevent touching their face with dirty hands. They're also going to be providing more hand sanitizer within the classrooms and the schools there, as well as more cleaning supplies. So all of this because they say CPS does not have any plans, any immediate plans to shut down school as a result of coronavirus. And as you know, right now there have been no cases within the school district. At this hour, still only four confirmed cases in the state of Illinois since this all started in January. And you know, two of those cases have since fully recovered.
Courtney, did I hear somebody talk about how it is very unlikely the CDC would issue some sort of edict to close all schools, that at worst case scenario would be just certain areas?
Right. I think it really depends on how this virus spreads. And as you mentioned, only four cases here in Illinois, and they've all been in our area, actually. But, you know, two of those cases have since recovered. So right now there's not a huge urgency, and the mayor feels very confident that health officials, public health officials, county, city, and statewide have done all that they could to prepare for this and taken a lot of precautions, including the hospitals as well, to make sure that this does not spread and become an epidemic here in our area, at least.
All right, more coming up on that later today. Thanks for the update, Courtney. You have a good day, and good luck with the breakfast now.
Thanks so much, Bob. Take care.
5:23 almost. Let's say hello to Dave. Good morning, Dave. You're our first caller. Congratulations.
All right. Hey, good morning. Glad you're back.
Appreciate that. Where are you, Dave?
Right now I'm in Daytona Beach Shores on my balcony watching the sunrise and the waves tumble over the sand.
Well, let's just focus on that image. That makes us feel better here on March the 5th. Are you listening on one of the apps or WGNRadio.com or just on your radio?
I'm streaming it on that Echo Dot.
All right. Yeah, you just tell it to... Let me try it now. I got one here. Transport me to Florida immediately. That's not working. What do you do, Dave?
I'm a carpenter, so I'm normally up this early anyway. So,
and are you originally from Chicago?
Yeah, I live in Long Grove. I'm just here for the week. I took a week off, you know, not much needed vacation. So, I'll be back Sunday.
Nice. Well, let's see. Let me see if it's safe for you to come back Sunday. What's the weather going to be? Let's see. Today, not too bad.
It's going to be beautiful Sunday.
You're right, Mary. It is. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the best. 64 Sunday, so your timing is right, Dave.
Yeah, perfect.
That's going to be good. All right, let me get you a prize for being caller number one today. How about a desktop weather station, an indoor weather station?
Wonderful.
That way you'll know whether you should stay home or go to Florida. Let's see. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Hold on there, Dave, and we'll get the information we need to get that out to you. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Enjoy your week down there in Florida. 5:24 right now. What did I see here that I was going to ask you about, Mark? Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about this yesterday, and I guess there's nothing new on this. The Cubs are supposed to play this series in London, which is still on for now. But Theo Epstein was saying yesterday that they're sort of playing it by ear, aren't they? They're going to be in touch with Major League Baseball. There's all sorts of committees being formed now to advise the players on this. But you know, you would have to think that if this thing continues to be with us or gets worse, that they might not play that game or two games, right?
Yeah, June 13th and 14th versus the Cardinals. you know, not to step on MLB's decisions, but Cubs and Cardinals should be played in London anyway. Let's bring it on back. One more game in St. Louis, one more game in Chicago. But, yeah, I this is obviously up in the air. So, I don't know, Bob. I was looking at flights yesterday to go overseas if you'd like to. Like, you can get a round-trip ticket to Paris right now for $395, I found. So, you know, it'll be cheaper for the Cubs and Cardinals to fly there now under these conditions. I don't know if they'll be allowed to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the airlines are canceling flights. First, I was thinking, yeah, there are going to be a lot of cheap fares, but the number of flights is going to be drastically reduced. So, I mean, This is reaching out into all areas. Air travel, of course, spring break coming up. Everybody's thinking about that. Entertainment, concerts, sporting events.
Well, Chicago State canceled the rest of their basketball season. So that was the first college basketball team to do it. You're seeing events in Europe that are being canceled on a sporting. I wouldn't think the Cubs and Cardinals would end up playing in London. That, I mean, if I was a betting person going to Vegas, will they play those games there? I would think not.
Yeah, and you can't wait till the last minute to call it off, right? In Japan, baseball teams are playing spring games in empty stadiums because of fears of the virus outbreak. The NBA has told players to avoid high-fiving fans and strangers and to avoid taking any item for autographs. Theo Epstein was signing autographs yesterday out there in Arizona, but everyone's concerned.
Yeah, and getting into the minutiae here that's not really a part of this, but just looking at the Cubs schedule, they play Wednesday the 10th, right? They're at Philly. Then they fly to London.
In June?
Yeah, in June. So they fly to London. The game's on Saturday, then they play on Sunday. Then they come back here and play on Tuesday. So if those games get canceled, one's in St. Louis, one's in Chicago, do they play them at that time? Do they add them onto a different part of the schedule? Cubs would almost get like a mini all-star break in the middle of June, which would be very odd, but could be to their benefit, I guess.
The Cubs, Sox, and other teams being encouraged by MLB to form their own internal subcommittees to talk about this. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, we'll keep you posted right here. We got our update on everything going on coming up at 5:30. Time for Orion's Agribusiness Brief.
Good morning. Well, with all of the action in the stock market yesterday, we did see higher prices on all but one of the traded agricultural commodities. Board of Trade, March wheat ended down 7.25 cents a bushel. But March corn was up 5.5 cents a bushel. March soybeans up 5.25 cents a bushel. Livestock futures at the Merck yesterday, we saw June lean hogs traded $1.05 a hundredweight higher. April live cattle up $1.42, and the April feeder cattle contract ended the day higher, up $1.60. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue appeared before the House Agriculture Committee yesterday, pretty much said that farmers have had challenging times because of weather and trade issues, but the Department of Agriculture is committed to working to turn some of those numbers around. And Senator Chuck Grassley, chairman of the U.S. Finance Committee, yesterday said that he saw no evidence that China intended to try to escape its commitments under the deal to sharply increase its purchases of U.S. farm goods, manufactured products, energy, and services. But the coronavirus, he said, could require some adjustments and would likely delay the start of negotiations on a Phase 2 trade agreement. Those words from the Iowa Republican senator yesterday. And we got a signature yesterday on the Border Patrol request for more funds to add inspectors at the nation's borders to make sure no foreign pests or diseases get into the country. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson. That's Ag Biz.
All right, thanks to Orion. 5:41. This may not mean much to you, but for a lot of people, this is a big headline. The Standard Club, a gathering place for leading members of Chicago business for 150 years, will be closing May 1st. They could reopen elsewhere. But a statement from its general manager indicated they are closing up May 1st. They're over at 320 South Plymouth, that 13-story building, been there for years. They, like other clubs of that type, have faced escalating financial trouble and late last year asked its wealthy membership to provide extra cash to pay bills. The statement from the general manager, Garth Walker, went on to say the club has recently faced challenging business circumstances similar to those that have faced many urban private clubs in terms of membership, usage, and revenue. The board has come to the very difficult decision that club operations are no longer sustainable. The board has retained the real estate brokerage firm CBRE to market all or parts of the building for sale. He said the club hopes to find a partner for a synergistic business relationship. We expect that there will be a transition period, he said, and our hope is eventually a new home for a new type of club that continues to reflect our shared traditions, values, and camaraderie will happen. It's kind of another era, clubs like that. Yeah, there used to be a time where, you know, big shots like us would all be members of clubs, private clubs like that. Did you ever, I've never belonged to a club like that, but I've been in places like the Standard Clubs. Friends have invited me for lunch. Yeah, pretty cool. You know, nice food, nice lunch setup, nice dinner, locker rooms. People who were thrown out of their house by their wives would stay there for a while. Ever been in there, Mark?
I'm shocked by this story. I'm thinking about my childhood. I think they have a basketball court in there, mm-hmm, and a track around the top of it, and they have these old leather Wilson basketballs that I seem to remember as an 8-year-old somehow getting in there with my dad or grandpa or something. That's like the one time, yeah, I was ever at the Standard Club.
Yeah, those clubs, there used to be quite a few of them. I don't know how many or which ones are even left now, but you know, if you could afford it and get in there, it was kind of cool. Yeah, but that era is gone. So the millennials shun that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, they've got what's the new hip place on the west side that all the cool people go to? Joe?
Which one?
Soho Club is what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
About.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What I'm getting.
But that's a different kind of operation.
Yeah, it's not the standard club.
But it's kind of the new version of it. You're right.
Somewhere in the general vicinity of 2020, the Standard Club of today is Soho. Well, where does East Bank fall? Where does Midtown fall in all of that?
Nah, your old health clubs, that's a little different.
Yeah,
that's
not
a little,
the same.
It's a little different. Okay. Yeah, I've been over to the Soho a few times. Some members have invited me over for meetings or lunch. It's a nice hangout. They have those all over the country. I've been to a couple of those, but I'm not a member. And, of course, I subscribe to the old philosophy that any club that would have me as a member, I do not want to belong to. Steve Grzanich now for our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader conversation.
Our thought leader this morning is Don Lloyd. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, good morning. Good to be back.
Remind our listeners again what you do at Associated Bank.
Sure. I run what's called the Capital Markets Group at Associated Bank, which is just a fancy way of encompassing foreign exchange, interest rate swaps, and commodity derivatives.
It has been an interesting few days, has it?
It has been a wild ride. I'm glad to be here, resting a little bit. So thank you.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the impacts. We've seen after the Fed cut, the markets go down and then go up. It looks like a roller coaster ride might continue for the foreseeable future.
No question about that. And whether it's a little bit of a mix between the coronavirus and a little bit on the Democratic candidates trying to get the leadership role for the election coming up. A little bit of everything's mixing in there. But surprise move by the Fed earlier this week, you know, 50 basis point cut, which no one really saw coming. It wasn't forecasted. They haven't had an emergency session since 2007, 2008. And they sort of surprised the market with a big cut and targeting Fed funds at 1 to 1.25% now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that initially, and perhaps we saw that big drop right after that. The impact of that, the size of that, the meaning that goes along with that, because 2008, that was the financial crisis.
It was the financial crisis. And it's good to know that the Fed is awake at the wheel, that they are there to aid when necessary and if necessary. My only concern is that this really isn't a demand side issue. You know, just because rates are low and money is more liquid and more accommodative, what does that really mean? To me, this is more of a supply side issue of what's coming out with this whole coronavirus. And, you know, what does that mean? It means the global supply chain has slowed down. Okay, and if you take a look at container vessels, that you know, the big container ships that are going, they're lined up over in China full of goods. And China, because of quarantine and testing and whatnot, is having a hard time getting drivers to unload these things. So they sit out there in port. Now, the whole idea with these cargo ships is they unload, they offload their goods, and then they load back up with supplies from China to come back to the U.S. or other places. These container ships on their schedule are only 50% full. So they're leaving port only 50% full, and it's just a matter of time before these container companies and shipping companies sit there and say, slow it down, stay in port until you're 100% full. That's slowing down this whole supply chain on a global basis. Mm-hmm. Goods just aren't moving. So nice that rates are low and that the Fed has cut, certainly signaled to the market maybe some, you know, concern and crisis on their end, but I don't think it's going to do much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because this is a medical, this is a health and public safety issue, and a lower interest rate really is not going to get you out of that.
That's exactly right. This is a black swan that came. Nobody saw this virus coming. Like I said, good to know that the Fed is there, and if needed, will lend a hand any way that they can, but I think it's just not going to have that much of an impact. This has got to run its course.
You saw, we were talking before we came on the air today about all of the different things in history that you've seen on the trading floor. And did you ever think you'd see the Treasury note fall below 1%?
40 years in this business, and this is a first for me. So I sit there and I look at the young people on the trading floor right out of college, and we're seeing it for the first time. Under 1% for a 10-year Treasury. Never in my lifetime.
So here's the million-dollar question, Don, and that is, as investors, what should we be doing? I know we always talk to you about hedging. What are the concrete things that we can do?
Well, first, wash your hands about 10 times a day, right, and stay healthy. And know that these things will take their course and they will pass, and you know, not to overpanic and not to panic. I mean, this is going to impact the economy. There's no question about that. I was supposed to be in a global conference next week, and it got canceled. I've heard of two other conferences that were canceled. You know, so whether it's travel, dining, hotel rooms, all of that is going to become soft and spongy for a while, you know, as people sit there and retract and try to avoid this. And the market's going to adjust accordingly, and that's why you're seeing so much whipsawing going on and so much, you know, major moves are going on, is because the market's forward thinking about this stuff. How long will it last? And that's going to be the big question. Now, the big, how long will it last is an interesting thing. Go back to a pandemic of 100 years ago in 1918, where it killed 20 million people. It went around the world three times. And it was 1930 by the time we realized that it was this little organism called a virus. We had no idea what a virus was back in 1918. Medicine today is so much faster, more efficient, knowledgeable. We're able to identify these things very quickly. We're able, hopefully, to quarantine things or try to put protocol in place and hopefully find some solution that will help slow this thing down or at least manage it as it runs out of steam, which it will eventually. Now, whether that's 3 months or a year or 3 years, who knows? But we're not 1918 anymore. So I like to think that as the markets have changed, so has medicine. The speed at which things happen, you know, just take a look at the financial markets. News comes out, it blows up, there's a major move, and then all is calm again, and it's forgotten 3 days later or a week later. Medicine's sort of like that.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
I've heard more than one financial expert say that the economy, global economy, the U.S. economy was sort of in a bubble waiting for somebody to burst it, and that that's going to lead to a recession. This is how we go that to that point.
We'll see. To me, we're not too far out of 2007, 2008 with participants in the market. And to them, the younger people, the recession to them is what we saw in 2007 and 2008, and that was not a typical recession. We have to see what everybody has to remember what a typical recession is. And they happen, they occur, and we come out of it, and we're much better off than we were when we went into it, and the world goes on. Every recession isn't defined by 2007, 2008 financial crisis. So I understand that everyone's probably sensitive to that. Like, oh my gosh, are we on the brink of this again? And the answer is maybe, I personally don't think so, but I can understand everyone's concern.
Don, remind us how to get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if we want to have more information on some of this.
Sure. You can reach me. My email is donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com. Looking forward to any and every email that comes into me.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Take Don care. Lloyd is the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange Derivatives at Associated Bank. He's our thought leader today, and you can hear more of our thought leader conversations and meet our thought leaders at associatedbank.com/thought leadership. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, March the 5th. A couple of things that could move the markets today, including weekly jobless claims. We see the estimate at about 217,000. That would be about 2,000 less than last week. We'll get a report on quarter four productivity. Labor costs coming out today. A report on factory orders as well. On the earnings calendar, Kroger, American Outdoor Brands, and Costco all reporting quarterly earnings today. And that's just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, March the 5th.
It's 10 after 6. I'm confused. I heard one of the medical health experts yesterday talking about this. If a person does not have the symptoms of the coronavirus, you can't, then you're okay, right? You can't catch it from somebody who doesn't have the symptoms. They're not contagious. So why are we afraid to shake hands? Well, I guess because we're not sure if the other person's sick. Is that why? Because so they were talking about this person was talking about, this doctor was talking about you know, who's contagious, mm-hmm. and who you should be careful around. And they were saying if somebody does not have the symptoms of the virus, then you know, they can't pass it along.
I don't know.
What am I mixed up on here?
I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
No.
It sounds like, because I know you can. I thought I heard yesterday that people could spread the disease during that 14-day incubation period. You don't know that you have it, but you could spread the virus. That's what I heard, I thought, unless it's changed in the last 12 hours, which is possible.
Everybody's panicked about this.
I'm a big fan of the fist pound. Just let's a little shoulder tap. Shaking hands is always a little bit too intimate anyway.
I saw something online about people who were like tapping toes now.
There we go.
Yeah, I think they call that the Weibo because it started in Weibo, China.
Is that right?
Yeah, the people in China are tapping feet.
I was talking, and my kids are all freaked out. My daughter is away at college, said she just got back from the store, and they were out of hand sanitizer and Lysol. And then I talked to one of my other kids. Costco was out of toilet paper. Thank goodness I built a fallout shelter, and they could just stay down there. Yeah, that's what I said. Well, why is there a run on toilet paper? Excuse the word run. But apparently, the fear is that stores would have to close. Is that why people are buying out the toilet paper?
Yeah, and they fear that they're not going to have toilet paper if that happens. Well, and also if people decide they're going to make a run on stores, toilet paper, bread, milk, those are the first things that go. So I can see why people would be stocking up on some of those things.
Anybody doing that around here?
I did. I stocked up a little bit.
I had a feeling that Steve was the guy that did that.
And by the way, it's called the Wuhan Shake is what it's called.
Oh, the foot, people tapping the foot touch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Steve stocked up on salami and pork sticks, and what else did you, what else are you afraid people, the stores are going to run out of,
Steve? It really wasn't that significant. Mariano's
Twinkies.
They had pasta, boxes of pasta on sale for 10 for a dollar or something, 10 for $10.
Goodbye.
So, I bought 10 boxes of pasta just in case.
Pasta's good.
Wait a minute now. So are these stores going to be making a lot of money? Maybe that's the stock to buy, like Publix groceries or Kroger.
That's what Warren Buffett's doing. He's buying Walmart.
Yeah, and there are pictures coming in from California and from Washington State where the grocery store shelves are just wiped clean, just like it happens before a snowstorm, because people out there are even more frightened than we are here.
And then there are all sorts of recipes online, so do-it-yourself formulas for making your own hand sanitizer or disinfectant. So, you know, you can do that, too.
That seems
pretty
aggressive.
Simple. Yeah.
I'm not going through the trouble. Seriously.
Yeah.
This is getting kind of crazy.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, you know, you think about it, and this is why the world economy is affected. It's touching every aspect of life around the world. What did I see today about in Italy? Oh, yeah, there was this story out of Milan, where they have canceled all sporting events throughout the country. Well, they haven't canceled the events, but everything has to take place without fans present until April 3rd. Schools and universities in Italy have been ordered to close until March 15th. So, I mean, you know, it's just every day you wake up and there's more. And there's a lot of misinformation, too. Be careful what you see on Facebook and other places on social media, because there are a lot of stories that get spread and outrageous lies go viral faster than dull truths. So keep that in mind.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Here's what people are talking about at 6:20. Michael Bloomberg has endorsed Joe Biden after he ended his multi-million-dollar candidacy yesterday. Michael Bloomberg, in that short time, spent more than $7.7 million per delegate. According to his most recent Federal Election Commission spending report, Bloomberg spent more than $400 million for his campaign and operating expenses. Last night, Senator Bernie Sanders talked with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC about, among other things, how his measures of success for his campaign are different than a typical candidate.
If at the end of the day, it turns out that Vice President Biden is going to have more delegates than you do heading into the convention, will you drop out?
Of course, I drop out. You will win. I mean, we'll run through. I suspect we will run through the process. I think people have a right to vote. But if Biden walks into the convention or at the end of the process has more votes than me, he's the winner.
And that's true with whether or not he has a majority or just a plurality.
Absolutely.
If Bernie Sanders became president, Larry David would have a whole new career. Wouldn't he? Okay, here we go. Let's see what number two is.
Now, page two.
Thank you, Paul. The coronavirus has already disrupted the education of nearly 300 million students worldwide, according to the United Nations. A Seattle area school district said yesterday they would cancel classes for 2 weeks, the largest virus-related shutdown here in the United States. Spring break's coming up, and everybody is worried about air travel. United became the first American carrier to announce a widespread cut to domestic service, suggesting that fear was eroding ticket sales, even away from the epidemic's hotspots. Speculation mounting as to how Japan will proceed with the Tokyo Olympics, less than 150 days away. Congress is expected to vote this week on a funding package, including help for small businesses. 95,000 cases have been recorded, more than 3,200 deaths attributed to the coronavirus globally, while more than 50,000 of those people have already recovered, and officials are still trying to answer the big question, how bad will it get?
Page three.
California Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency yesterday. California now has 53 confirmed cases of the coronavirus, and the first death was reported yesterday.
Page four.
Apple is telling retail store workers to expect a limited supply of replacement iPhones for the next several weeks. Employees at Apple's retail stores were warned that replacement iPhones could be in short supply for weeks.
Dome, it may concern.
Smartphones may make your headaches worse, according to a new study. The researchers at the All India Institute of Medical Sciences in New Delhi studied 400 people with a primary headache condition, which includes migraines, tension headaches, and other types not caused by another illness. After asking the participants about their smartphone use, headache history, and medication use, they found that smartphone users were more likely to use more pain medication, but find less relief compared to those who didn't use smartphones.
Stand by for news.
All right, and let's finish up with number six. Ready for some good news, some good health news? Here it is. The Democratic Republic of the Congo reports the last Ebola patient has been discharged, marking a new step toward the end of the world's second deadliest outbreak of that disease. Healthcare workers were seen singing and dancing as others gathered to see the patient leave the hospital. How about it? How about it?
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Good day.
The airlines, by the way, are trying to do a little bit more to keep us safe. There's news about better cleaning of airlines. They say their cleaning routines follow guidelines from health officials. Planes get cleaned to varying degrees between flights, but Southwest, United, and Delta all now say their aircraft are getting an end-of-day cleaning that includes wiping hard surfaces with disinfectant. Some are adding extra measures, especially on flights from areas affected by the outbreak. United says they are deep cleaning any aircraft that carried a passenger later diagnosed with the coronavirus. A deep clean, which normally happens every 50 to 55 days, includes washing ceilings and overhead bins and scrubbing the plane's interiors. Now, think about that. Normally, they only do that every 50 to 55 days. And think how many flights there are every day with every plane. And normally, only every 50 to 55 days do they do that deep cleaning.
I'm flying on Sunday. I'm bringing a bag of wipes. I am going to pass them out in my aisle.
Well, Mary, you'll be happy to know that, some airlines are giving the flight attendants more hand sanitizer to use. Delta says they're stocking more of it. Gloves and surgical masks will be on Delta flights in and out of Asia. They're giving customers on long international flights amenity kits with hand sanitizer or cleansing towelettes. American is stocking extra hand sanitizer wipes at departure gates and in flight attendant service kits on flights to and from Asia. They're also allowing flight attendants to wear masks on certain flights if that makes them more comfortable. So they're trying. Delta just started using machines that spray aircraft arriving in the U.S. from Asia, and they spray with a disinfectant. The new procedure makes sure the disinfectant reaches more surfaces than hand wiping the aircraft.
Pretty soon they're just going to hose us off before we head on.
Yeah, that's next.
Stand in line, everybody. Blast.
Flights from Italy to New York and Atlanta are also getting the fogging treatment. Delta says it's working to get additional machines to use on planes arriving from more cities outside Asia with reported cases of the virus. Cutlery, glassware, and dishes are being sanitized before they're washed on Delta flights from Asia to the U.S., and linen and headphones are being cleaned separately from those on flights from other destinations. Alaska Airlines says flight attendants can wear gloves during food and beverage service. That airline has temporarily stopped refilling used beverage cups, offering hot towels in first class, and collecting recycling on board to reduce the number of times crews need to handle passenger items. They also stopped using fingerprint biometric scanners in airport lounges. Yeah, you're just going to be walking around in a hazmat suit here pretty soon, right?
I'm kind of amazed that they actually do a deep clean of the...
Oh, you mean ever?
Ever. Like, really? Every 2 months, will they actually deep clean the airplane? That's amazing to me. Good. I'm pleased.
Yeah, I wish they would do that more often, even without coronavirus. Wouldn't that be nice to have some of that stuff sanitized regularly?
Especially in the bathroom. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I've said it before, but, you know, hopefully the coronavirus will go away. And then eventually, because of all these things we're doing and the measures we're taking and the fear and caution, there will be no colds this season, no flu this season, no nothing. I see where White Sox pitcher Dallas Keuchel did something the other day that I think sets a very dangerous precedent for any boss, manager, supervisor, or team leader. Did you hear about this? He picked up the dinner tab for more than 100 members of the White Sox family out there in Arizona. Every player in the White Sox Major League Clubhouse attendance trainers, equipment managers, secretaries, bat boys, the entire coaching staff, the front office, they were all invited. And it ended up being a group of about 125 people, including wives and girlfriends. It cost Dallas Keuchel about $25,000. So I guess Mark Carmen in today for Dave Bennett, that's the equivalent. That's for him, that would be like a $25 dinner check, right?
Yeah, he's making a couple dollars there. But still very generous, right? And the fact that he got team personnel plus the players and everybody together and saw a ton of quotes coming out of there. People really appreciated it. Have never had a dinner like that. So the atmosphere around the White Sox has been widely reported to be incredible. There's an incredible feeling of optimism on the club. And Dallas, new to town, and making himself feel very much appreciated.
And I see where, let's see, Giolito is going to pitch against the Cubs tomorrow, isn't he?
Yeah, making his spring debut. He had the chest issue, but apparently he's good to go. He'll ramp it up in the spring against the Cubs. He's excited to do that. It's always a little bit extra in the spring when you face the Cubs, right?
And my favorite quote of the day in the Sun-Times columnist Rick Morrissey, it's possible that the Bears will surprise everyone and make a run at Tom Brady when free agency begins March 18th. It's also possible that there's a Nobel Prize in chemistry in my future, says Rick Morrissey.
See, I'm championing this. Tom Brady supposedly had a phone call yesterday with Bill Belichick. It didn't go well. The San Francisco 49ers are now rumored. The Bears have Mitchell Trubisky. Why not get involved with Tom Brady? I know he's old. I know he's past his prime. I know you have a lot of needs, and he's going to be expensive. But that would be the biggest story in Chicago sports in I don't know how long. If Tom Brady became a Bear?
That's why all you guys are talking about it and writing about it. But it's not going to happen.
Right, but That's not
that's not going to stop you.
It makes it more fun just to think about it for 5 seconds. Like, he's out there. He's saying he's going to go through the free agency process. Dana White of the UFC called him up yesterday on some, like, Facebook Live thing and was begging him to come to Las Vegas and be a Raider. Why can't Bob Surratt call up Tom Brady, you know, and just promote the city? It's a great place to play.
Wow, why not? And people are still talking about this this exhibition game that ESPN did the other night. I'm so sorry I missed it. It was a Cubs game, and I guess ESPN had microphones on Rizzo and Bryant, and apparently they were very amusing. I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, Rizzo, for one, he's like, this guy's only throwing me one fastball today. I think I'm going to get one here. The guy throws a fastball, he rips it into right center for a base hit. So it's cool. I don't think they'll do that in the regular season.
No, they were mic'd during the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there in the batter's box. He's talking with the booth. I mean, kind of something you don't see.
Monday night they were playing the Angels, and I've been reading about it, and I'm sorry I missed it. That would have been fun. But yeah, they're not going to do that. Major League Baseball won't let them do that during the regular season, will they?
I don't think the players want it, but he's, you know, Rizzo.
Yeah, they don't.
Rizzo was taking shots at the Astros. I have no idea what they're going to throw me right here. Somebody bang for me.
Oh, right. A garbage can reference.
Get a garbage can bang for
so. Oh, nice. Well, this Sunday is International Women's Day, and there's something very special going on. We want to talk to Molly Melman and Karen Pitto from Let Us Entertain You Enterprises right now about Flower Power. Good to see both of you. And Flower Power sounds like a fun event Sunday. Molly Melman, why don't you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, thanks for having us in. We're really excited about this event. It's something that we have a women's group at Let Us Entertain You called the Row Club. And we had been kind of brainstorming ways that we could celebrate International Women's Day with our people. And we came up with this bake sale idea because we have a lot of wonderful women chefs in our company. And then as we kind of started thinking about it, we thought about all the amazing power of all the women across the Chicago restaurant industry. So we started to reach out to other restaurants, and people were just thrilled and really excited to be part of it. So it kind of gained momentum as we went, and then we got more and more women small businesses involved, and here we are. So we're going to celebrate on Sunday at the Ivy Room. and we have a handful of really wonderful Chicago chefs.
Karen, tell us first of all where the proceeds are going and what people get when they go there Sunday.
Oh my gosh, what don't you get when you come on Sunday? So many wonderful treats. But we have partnered with Women Unite, which is a local Chicago organization who actually partners with underserved communities and underserved charities to really provide them great services. So they help with graphic design, they help with creating business programs for smaller charities. So we're really excited to work with Women Unite. When you arrive, you'll check in. It's a $5 entry fee, and then you can purchase $5 vouchers to redeem them for purchase of any baked good. Coffee, we'll have some spirits as well, some mimosas and daiquiris. So it'll be, I think, a really fun afternoon. It's from 11 to 2 at the Ivy Room, which is at 12 East Ohio.
And you've got some great representation from RPM Seafood, Frontera Grill, and Topolobampo, Swift & Sons, so many more. And there's also going to be a nice coffee bar, live music, and people are going to get tote bags, flower power tote bags, too, with goodies in there, like the Oscars, sort of like the
well, they're available for being purchased.
Oh, I see. I see how that works.
Do go to Women Unite,
exactly.
But yes,
yeah,
we'll stuff them with a bunch of goodies from some chefs that couldn't make it.
Can people just show up and buy tickets at the door?
Absolutely, yeah. They can also buy them ahead of time on our website, flowerpowerbakesale.com.
And we should say that's F-L-O-U-R, flowerpowerbakesale.com.
Yeah.
Or show up at the Ivy Room, 12 East Ohio. Sunday starts at 11, goes till about 2 p.m., right?
Exactly.
That's correct.
All right, now, Molly Melman, you can call a lawyer if you want, but I have some questions for you regarding being part of the world-famous Let Us Entertain You Enterprises now that your dad started, Rich Melman, and now you, along with your brothers, RJ and Jared, kind of run things. The RPMs, what else? What are the other restaurants?
We've got Ramen-san, Sushi-san, the RPMs, like you said, Hub 51, Bub City, Three Dots and a Dash. We just opened a nightclub, reopened a nightclub called Dance Studio, where Studio Paris used to be. Il Porcellino, Pizzeria Portofino.
And so when you are, along with your brothers, going from restaurant to restaurant, making sure everything is going well, do you always sort of look over your shoulder and see your dad there, whether he's there or not?
He's always there. Yeah.
Oh, he's actually there.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, I think, you know, growing up around him and seeing him working in the restaurants, we learned a lot. And his voice is always there, whether or not he's actually physically there. But I think, you know, we've all kind of created our own paths. So we have that, too.
And how much latitude does he give you?
It depends. If he likes the idea, he gives us some, and then, and then he'll rein it in if he doesn't. But no, but we have a lot of fun. We have good constructive conversations when we're disagreeing about something.
And what's the relationship? What's the interaction like between you and your brothers? Because you three, you're in the next generation running Let Us Entertain You Enterprises and all these restaurants. And how do you determine who does what? And tell me about the arguments.
So we all have kind of developed our own lane, which is nice. I focus mostly on the training and the development and the hiring. RJ is now the president of Let Us Entertain You as of about a year and a half ago. So he is up at our corporate office overseeing the whole company more. And then Jared and I are focusing on our division, which is the restaurants that we just named. But yeah, I mean, we see each other every day. We interact every day. And for the most part, we understand our lanes. So if there's something creative, that's my dad and that's Jared. Something that's more administrative, that's RJ. And so we can kind of divvy it up. But of course, there's going to be arguments, you know.
When you were younger, much younger, were you ever thinking, you know, this is where I want to end up. I want to be part of this business when I get out of college.
No.
Oh, really? What happened?
So I had grown up with it. I always loved it. I can remember going when I was 7 to take your daughter to work day when Food Life was opening and loved it. It was really fun. But then throughout high school and college, I worked in the restaurants. I hosted at RJ Grunt's as a little rite of passage. And I don't know. I kind of wanted to create something that was my own. I didn't want to just get a job out of college that was just because of my last name. So when I was in school, I kind of wanted to do whatever I could that was different. And I went to New York, actually. I applied for Teach for America. I taught kindergarten in the South Bronx right when I graduated. which is an amazing experience. And then when I moved back to Chicago, I was kind of thinking, am I going to keep teaching? What am I going to do? And Jared and RJ had just opened Hub 51, which was their first restaurant, and they needed help at the host stand. So I helped them and kind of helped organize their team a little bit, and then realized, oh, wow, I actually like being here every day. And then it kind of, you know, paved the way for my new path, which was training, which was a nice combination of my background in teaching and then the restaurant. So.
And it must be nice now to get involved in something like this bake sale with a purpose, as you call Flower Power, F-L-O-U-R, Sunday, Ivy Room in River North, because you've got so many great people involved, not just the people from the Let Us Entertain You family, but some of your competitors, too. And I imagine everybody was very happy to get involved. Karen?
The resounding response was, yes, how can I help? You know, people are very, very busy, and Sundays are certainly a sacred day in the restaurant industry, and everyone just said yes. So we were busting at the seams for having chefs participate. We're just so excited. And if they couldn't be there for whatever reason, they still wanted to make a donation, and that's where the tote bag came in.
It's a nice community, and it's and it always struck me that as competitive as the restaurant business is, when competing chefs, restaurant owners, folks like that get together, they sort of share common problems and want to help each other, don't they? I 100%. Mean, I've noticed that
absolutely
all
yeah.
the way.
For sure.
There was a get-together, it's been a while, and I think they still do it, representatives, PR people from all of the competing, not all, but most of the competing steak places in town, a lot of the more popular ones, the people who were the PR folks all met like once every month or two or whatever, and just not only shared stories, but they would help each other. If somebody was full and couldn't take a group, they would pass it along to somebody else. That's amazing. We don't do that in broadcasting. We're not friendly around here. All right. Once again, it's coming up Sunday at the Ivy Room, 12 East Ohio Street, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Great cause, great things to eat and drink. And if you want to be part of it, you can just show up there Sunday. Or what do? They go to the website for tickets?
Yeah, Flower Power Bake Sale, FLOUR.com, or also talk.com and then search Flower Power.
Yeah, it's Molly Melman and Kieran Pinto from Let Us Entertain You. And whenever you have a chance, do you try to have a meal at somebody else's restaurant? Is that the idea? Called, because you know what's going on at your place?
Yeah, we like to call it competitive dining, yes. And I enjoy it thoroughly, yes.
Steal ideas sometimes?
Borrow, yeah. Uh-huh. Inspired.
Inspired, yes.
Well, good luck on Sunday. It's a great cause, all to support the International Women's Day on Sunday. And basically, the goal of having that day, what's the purpose of the Women's Day exactly?
To just highlight to wonderful women, recognize women in the industry or women in general, and then, yeah, just a good opportunity to bring everyone together.
Well, I'm glad we recognized you two today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, good luck on Sunday. I'm sure it'll be great. 7:09. More coronavirus news more often here on WGN. Part of me doesn't even want to deal with it, but the other part of me knows you need to hear about this, and especially when it comes to the airlines, because spring break is here and people are planning trips, wondering what to do. There are a lot of great deals out there now because so many people have canceled flights. And as we mentioned earlier, the airlines are trying to make those planes a little cleaner. Passengers can use antibacterial wipes to clean armrests and tray tables, but Alaska Airlines is asking travelers not to use them on their leather seats because they can damage the leather. The Association of Flight Attendants, the union representing flight attendants at airlines including United, says it's been working with airlines to encourage measures designed to prevent the spread of the virus, like making sure all flights are stocked with additional hand sanitizer. And on airplanes, they say, you know, those vents above your seat, they say you should have those open and aimed at your face to breathe in the filtered air. Because contrary to popular belief, they do filter that. Air in airplanes is generally isolated to specific zones. The air in your zone gets sucked in and recirculated in the same zone. And most aircraft flying today pass recirculated air through a series of filters 20 to 30 times an hour. The filters used, called high-efficiency particulate air filters, are hospital operating room grade and capable of removing 99.9% of particulate, such as bacteria, fungi, larger viruses, and virus clumps, according to the CDC. Feel better about flying now?
I'm a little overwhelmed, Bob.
but I don't want that blowing in my face, though. You know, the whole time? It's kind of cold.
Particulate. And
I know. I always turn mine off, actually. I guess I'll have
Well, all the experts are saying that riding on airplanes does not necessarily expose you to any greater risk than other situations where you could be in close contact with possibly sick people. Subways, movie theaters, lines at the grocery store. Flying does put you in close contact with people. Studies have shown that travelers do have a higher risk for getting sick. One study pegged the increased risk of catching the common cold at 20% if you're on a plane. Listen to this. Research done recently tracing the flu transmission on a flight found that 2% of passengers had the disease during the flight and 5% came down with the disease within a week after landing. Here's what's fascinating. Coach passengers were at a 3.6% increased risk of contracting the flu if they sat within two rows of someone who had symptoms in flight. That increased risk for post-flight disease doubled to 7.7% for passengers seated within a two-seat hot zone in any direction. And they did another study, and they came to an obvious conclusion. The chances of exposure lessened if there are fewer people around you. So if a flight is full, there would be less of a chance of getting infected in first class compared with coach, but the odds would be flipped if first class was full and economy wasn't.
See, this is why I like Southwest. You get to pick your own seat, and you can strategize that that person looks healthy, they're on the aisle.
Yeah, you want to give them a physical now before you sit near them.
I'm in the emergency exit. That's probably pretty good, huh?
Well, it all depends how crowded your flight is, I guess. But yeah, you might have more room there, Mary. Coronavirus is a respiratory virus that is thought to be transmitted through tiny droplets excreted by coughing and sneezing. Research on other viruses has shown that on an airplane, you are at risk if you are within two or three rows of an infected person. Basically, the distance a droplet might travel. And airline cleaning, as we've mentioned, is scant, so you may want to bring your own disinfecting wipes for public surfaces like tray tables and armrests. And then about those masks, here's what one expert said. If you do want to wear a face mask, you have to get something better than a regular paper surgical mask. Those masks, which are designed to stop your germs from getting out and infecting others, will not stop the coronavirus from getting in, according to doctors. You need a mask called an N95 respirator, which is thicker than a standard mask. Those masks are challenging to put on and challenging to wear for long periods of time. If someone near you is sneezing and coughing, ask the person to cover his or her mouth and then ask a flight attendant to move you to an empty seat, even a middle seat. Yeah, good luck finding an empty seat, right? Does it work if I do the show wearing my surgical mask? It's kind of hard to hear me if I do the show this way, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just keep thinking back to that guy that kept pounding the seat when the woman reclined. What's going to happen when you ask somebody to sneeze the other direction? Are they just going to sneeze right in your face then? Is that how that works?
When are we going to see the first viral video of a fight on board between somebody who has sneezed or coughed in the direction of someone who wants to start a fight? Oh, it's going to be a fun spring break, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm really happy to be flying Sunday, but you guys got to stop.
Well, let's get some extremely local news from Block Club Chicago. Jen Sabella joins us to talk about, among other things, what's happened to the Peabody School. Quite a historic structure, isn't it, Jen?
It is. Good morning, Bob. The Peabody School it was built in 1894 when a lot of Polish and German immigrants had moved to the West Town, kind of Noble Square area. The school's at 1444 West Augusta Boulevard. It's actually historically protected. It's landmarked school, and it was among the 50 schools closed and the largest school closings in U.S. history in 2013. And a company that has been picking up these closed schools is turning it into apartments. Svegos Asset Management, they also took over another near North School, which was also closed in the 2013 closures at 739 North Ada Street. Those are now the Motley School apartments, and work is about to begin on the Peabody School apartments.
1894. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, so in order to get developers in there to turn these into apartments, they had to sign on to follow the city's rules for like landmark buildings. So they are restoring, they use a lot of the original stuff that was in the school. In the Motley apartments, they basically fixed up these cabinets that were used from the 1880s. By teachers to store school supplies, and these are now just kind of built in people's apartments. They said that there's a lot of criticism over turning the closed schools into luxury housing, where you have to, the smallest apartments are renting for $2,300 a month. But the developers say, you know, we're not making a ton of money on this just based on the work it takes to preserve this kind of building and to really follow the city's rules on preservation here.
And you said that's in Noble Square?
Yes. So like on Augusta, kind of just like near Wicker Park area, a little bit south of there.
All right, take us to Lakeview now and a very popular spot that's on the move.
Pick Me Up Cafe. It was a staple of my high school, you know, jumping on the train, coming up to the north side and going to the Pick Me Up Cafe for French toast at midnight was my thing. It opened in 1997. It has actually had vegan and vegetarian food on the menu for ages, well before the Beyond Burgers and the Impossible Burgers and all the vegetarian stuff we see now. It is a late night diner, and it kind of stands out in Wrigleyville. You have a lot of bars and like sports fans, and it's a little bit more of like an artsy scene at the Pick Me Up. But with everything changing in Wrigleyville, as you've probably seen around Wrigley Field, it's a completely different vibe now. It's a lot fancier, I would say, than it used to be. And there is a huge CTA construction project happening where they're going to have the Belmont bypass flyover. So all of these buildings near the Pick Me Up, which is at 3408 North Clark Street, a lot of them are being demolished. This building wasn't set to be demolished, but they were like, the construction, all of our neighbors are gone. So they're moving to uptown to 4882 North Clark Street. And this is actually the latest in a series of Lakeview businesses to move to uptown in Andersonville.
So they're moving up the street there, 4882 North Clark, the new address. So that CTA project near the cafe, that's going to carry Brown Line trains over the Red and Purple Line tracks north of Belmont. It's a flyover bypass. And there, any word on when that's going to be done?
Oh, it's about, I think, 3 to 5 years out. So it's going to be a long process. They just started digging these 70-foot holes in January in the area just to build the, you know, put the big posts in that are going to support the overpass. So work has begun. They are, you know, clearing out these buildings, but it's going to be a long project.
Sounds like it. And what's new at the Field Museum?
So this is interesting. You know, the Field Museum is known for its dinosaurs, Sue the T-Rex. They are having a water dinosaurs, ocean dinosaurs series starting this summer. It's a special exhibit. Think like the Loch Ness Monster or something modeled after it. It's going to have more than 100 fossils and models of ancient creatures that roamed the oceans. It's really interesting. There are, you know, there's a shark that is like, it's a shark type dinosaur that is no longer, you know, long extinct, but you'd be able to go in and see how large its mouth was. Had a 10-foot wide jaws of the, it's called a megalodon. See, I'm really not great at saying that. But
glad you tried.
There'll also be CGI projections, so you'll be able to see how these marine predators roamed the earth. And this starts on June 12th at the Field Museum.
That'll be fun. And then finally, now this is very interesting because what's going on at Lincoln Yards is sort of a confluence of industry and a new residential, and now the neighbors there of General Iron are asking for something. What's this all about?
So this has been going on for such a long time. Neighbors living near General Iron are saying there is this dust in the air. They showed us pictures we actually have on our site right now in our story, having to change the air filters weekly in their house. So, you know, these are air filters that you usually change every few months, you know, if you're on top of it, your HVAC filters. People and businesses in the neighborhood say they have to change them weekly. They are black with this dust, and it's called fugitive dust by the EPA, and no one knows what it is. But General Iron says that it's not toxic, but they also don't know what it is. So the neighbors are forming a group. Now, these neighbors have been trying to get General Iron out of the neighborhood for a long time. They're like, you know, the neighborhood's changed. There's too many residential areas. It's dangerous. The kids can't play outside. So they are moving the facility to the southeast side. But what neighbors are saying is, hey, maybe before you move it to another neighborhood, we figure out what this dust is. So they are pushing. They are like basically starting a campaign saying, hey, everybody call the EPA and let's get them to test this dust that's in the air that we know it's covering our sidewalks. We know it's there. We at least want to know what it is.
And right now, the plant is at 1909 North Clifton, and they're supposed to move in a year to South Burley sometime in 2021, right?
Yes. So they're supposed to be moving. It's been a long process. I know Alderman Brian Hopkins has been, and Alderman Michelle Smith over in those wards. There's been a long battle because General Iron is like, you know, we've been here for a long time. They're very politically connected. They're very like a powerful, and they say, you know, we provide jobs and we've been in this neighborhood for ages. We're being pushed out. So there's, you know, on both sides there. But what the neighbors are saying is, hey, we want our kids to be able to play outside.
Yep. Fight goes on. Jen Sabella, Block Club Chicago. Thanks, Jen. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good one.
You too. And Scott Kleinberg joins us now. He is the social media and engagement manager at Investment News. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. And very interested in this new book called Facebook, The Inside Story by Stephen Levy. And it's kind of a look under the hood at Facebook, how their early decisions turned it into what it is today. And I've asked Scott to kind of take a look at this and tell us what makes this one different from other books about Facebook.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it's two main things, really. One is the level of detail. Levy was given access into Facebook that really you and I can only dream of, or maybe I dream about that more than you would. He got to speak with executives and workers, both past and present, but he really weaved in a lot of really extensive research. And the second thing is what I find really most interesting. He takes all of the things that happened through Facebook's past, and he reassesses it through the main criticism that people have today, which is Facebook wields too much power without adequate trust or accountability. If you think back, one of Facebook's best-known slogans was always move fast and break things. That seems like a long time ago, but it went on for a long time. And early on, that was okay because other companies, you know, wanted to emulate that approach. If you went too slow, you'd miss out. Somebody would take over and, you know, you'd be done. But if you look at what that's brought in 2020, you have this giant growth, this giant scale. So then you have all this political disinformation from 2016. You have and now you have anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, live stream suicides, Cambridge Analytica, which started, you know, as people playing quizzes online that turned into a giant scandal. So, you know, just all of that put together makes for a very compelling read.
Yeah, the book, which is called, Facebook, The Inside Story, it's 583 pages, which is why I asked Scott to read it for us.
Thanks, Bob.
But I heard the author interviewed, and so there's some fascinating insights into the company, aren't there?
Oh yeah, there's definitely a lot of fascinating insights. He's able to talk to a lot of people, and he was able to get a lot of insight into like access into the company, like we were talking about, that most people don't get. But the thing that's really interesting about that is I think in general, not just Facebook, but I think in general, tech companies are very fond of saying, you know, here is unprecedented, unfettered access, and you're really going to get everything that there is to get. At the end of the day, I think that companies are still only going to give what they really want to give. So I don't know that he's getting the kind of access that we all think he's going to get. But the fact that he was there without being kicked out quickly, I think, is a very telling thing as well.
And if you're not in the social media business, as you are, is it valuable to read this book for consumers?
I think it depends on what your definition of valuable is. It's definitely a good read. Like I said, I didn't walk away thinking that his access was absolutely as great as it sounded. But I think it's still, I think it's still interesting. I don't think it's necessarily just for social media inside people. I think the thing is, if you've been on Facebook anytime in the past few years, if you've shared a story, if you've heard the term fake news, like you and I have talked about all of this time, to find out where that started and to find out how that actually became a thing, then yeah, it's definitely valuable. But I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to ever give away an ending of a book. That's not something that I like to do.
Right.
But I don't think that there's a person out there that would be shocked to find out that the picture that Stephen Levy is painting is it's unforgiving. I mean, Facebook is not going to slow down. That's what we have to remember. Facebook is not going to slow down and stop breaking things just because a journalist sits down and writes a book. Facebook is still going to move full speed ahead because that's the way Mark Zuckerberg always operates.
So Facebook, the inside story, summed up in 30 seconds, Scott?
Spoken like a true social media user. I would say Facebook grew too fast. Mark Zuckerberg was laser focused on having a million users and beyond. He wanted Facebook to be one thing, a place for people to connect, and it became that. But when you have millions of people and then billions of people, it turned into something completely different. People started sharing news. They started sharing articles. He let the platform go because he didn't think it was for Facebook to control the platform. But in the end, it really was. And what he found out is that sometimes when you let things go too quickly, there are consequences.
And one of the things that book, Scott Kleinberg and I were talking about, Facebook, the inside story, sort of underlined, was the fact that sensational lies spread faster and further than most truths. And that's certainly true with this coronavirus, giving a new meaning to the term viral video. Scott, there's a lot of misinformation out there, isn't there?
There really is. And, you know, I'll tell you what I find the most interesting about the misinformation. There's a lot of things. But the first is that we actually have a president who's the source of some of this misinformation, which is a little bit scary. Last night he was telling, he was talking on Fox News, but he was talking on social media and said that it's okay to go to work if you have coronavirus. And as everything you know you've heard and everything that you guys have been reporting, it is not okay to go to work if you have coronavirus or even if you think you have coronavirus. And in fact, a lot of companies are saying that if you feel any kind of a sniffle or something, you should probably stay home. So you have that going on. But then, of course, you have the power of social media and you have basically things spread faster there than anywhere else. So you get this misinformation and it goes crazy. So what you end up having is the other side, and you have people who are really, really working hard to disprove that misinformation so there can be a balance and we don't get out of control like we do with some political news.
As far as Facebook and Twitter, are they increasing their fact checking? Can they do anything more?
They can sure try, and they are. Facebook, for example, has been outlining its initial response to the outbreak, and like you said, increased fact-checking. They try to remove misinformation a lot faster than they would normally remove other things. They have dedicated news feed notifications, so I see things all the time that pop up and say, you're located in New York, here's what's happening in your local area, so that's very helpful. And Mark Zuckerberg has been posting a lot on his personal Facebook profile, because a lot of people do follow him. So he's talking about the measures Facebook is doing. So, for example, they're providing the World Health Organization with as many free ads as it takes to maximize the response. They're blocking people from running ads which are exploiting the situation. They're providing Facebook is providing anonymous data that basically shows the World Health Organization how they can update their density maps so they can understand where the virus is spreading, which is really, really helpful. And Twitter's trying to do similar things. You know, they're removing things that aren't real. They're also doing something I think is really helpful. If you've looked online, you've noticed that everybody is spelling coronavirus a different way. Two words, one word, C-A-C-O. They are making it so that doesn't matter. So if your hashtag is spelled incorrectly and you search for one way, you'll find it no matter what, which is very, very helpful, so you don't have to keep searching all day for the same thing.
And Twitter is telling their employees to work from home, aren't they?
Yeah, they're actually saying, you know, they've actually canceled conferences. That's been going on. But yeah, they're telling people to work from home. There's if they have a job where it's possible to work remotely, that they should work from home. And I think a lot of companies are going to start doing that. I think we've started to see that already. And I mean, it's a good idea. There's no reason to, you know, incite panic for, you know, for no reason.
You know, I think with the Facebook news feeds and also with Twitter, we use those two social media sources for much of our news these days. So
we do.
It's comforting to hear that they're both, you know, aware of the fact that there's a lot of misinformation going on and they're trying to combat that. But I don't know how you do that, how you can possibly keep up.
Well, the thing is, it's very, very hard to keep up. And one of the things, you're right, and one of the things I recommend, it's a big danger anyway, especially on Twitter, to just go online without finding a group of followers that you trust and just typing in, for example, coronavirus in the search bar, because you're going to get a lot of crazy misinformation. I mean, the stuff that I've heard is just insane. But if you have a group of followers that you trust, people, you know, if you go to places that you trust, like go to the World Health Organization, go to the CDC, actually go to places, go to your local, you know, health department where you are, you know, actually find the people that are actually talking about it that are reputable. That's going to make the information that you find better. But if you go and you just decide to blanketly retweet and share like people do with some political news, that's where we have the problem, because it just goes so fast.
Yeah, one of the things that really struck me about that book, Facebook, The Inside Story by Stephen Levy, was he pointed out how unscrupulous organizations, especially when it came to politics, they knew that the crazier the content, the more it would spread, and they would intentionally do that to get their messages out to more people and in some cases charge more money for advertising. Scary stuff.
It is scary stuff, and it's absolutely true, because if you think about how the average person uses social media, it comes all the way back to what you're talking about now with coronavirus. If you look at what people do, they see a sensational headline, they're like, oh, this looks interesting, and they click the share button. And that's why when we were talking in previous weeks about the power of your own research, doing a 5-second Google search on something before you post something to make sure it's correct is an absolute wonderful thing to do. And what I tell people all the time, you know, is if you have a doubt about something that's going on with coronavirus, especially now, even if you don't want to do the 5-second Google search, just tell somebody to go to the CDC's Twitter feed or go to some other Twitter feed. Don't take the risk of just clicking the retweet button because something looks like it's interesting to read. That is where that's the ground zero when it comes to everything that's misinformation based.
Scott Kleinberg, social media and engagement manager at Investment News. Always great talking to you. Thanks, Scott.
Great talking to you too, Bob. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. It's 7:56. Dean Richards reports on entertainment after the 8 o'clock news. I also need to talk to you about that ABC special last night, Volcano Live. I have a few problems with that show, and apparently so do a lot of people. And we'll repeat that information too about those upcoming concerts that Steve Grzanich mentioned in the 7:30 news. Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin. More to come on all of that. It's 10 after 8. Time to talk to Dean Richards. Dean, are you reporting on more concerts being announced or canceled today?
Let me see. I have more announcements.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no concert cancellations, but a movie postponed, at least anyway, because of the coronavirus. The James Bond movie that was scheduled to come out in April, the studios have officially pushed back now to the Thanksgiving weekend, which actually might be a better weekend for the James Bond movie anyway. But they're trying to, you know, they don't want to minimize the number of people who might come to a theater in a few weeks to see this movie because of the fear of the virus. So the company, MGM and Universal Studios, saying they're doing this strictly out of economic concern, at least they're being honest, and that there is nothing, you know, you don't need to be worried about going to movie theaters in the U.S., although theaters have closed in China, Korea, and Japan. I still say if you're going to a movie theater, a play, a concert, I would bring some disinfectant wipes with you, you know, the Clorox wipes, and wipe down the area where you're going to be sitting for 2 hours. You know, that's when people are, you know, eating buttery popcorn and wiping it all over the place and slobbering and snoring.
That's on a normal night.
Yeah, right.
Without that virus going around.
Yeah, I mean, movie theaters, I see them go through and sweep up the floors. I've never seen them wipe down the chairs or anything like that at any theater, although theaters are telling me they're taking extra cleaning precautions right now. But I wouldn't avoid going to the theater, but I would wipe it down like you would if you got on an airplane.
What did I hear about the South by Southwest Festival? Is it going on?
It is going to go on. This South by Southwest is a huge music and media and movie festival. It takes place in Austin, Texas every year. It's a cool festival. Austin is not the biggest city, so South by Southwest Festival takes over Austin. It's like being in Mardi Gras everywhere you go during South by Southwest. It's packed. The festival is going to go on, but many of the major players have pulled out of it. Yesterday, Netflix said that they are backing out of South by Southwest. Also, Apple says that they are backing out of South by Southwest. They had seminars and displays and movie screenings and concerts and things like that. And already, Amazon Studios, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Mashable, Intel, they all have also pulled out of South by Southwest. So they're throwing a festival. I don't know who's going to be there. I was supposed to go to do some interviews, and we said that we were going to pass because I don't want to be in that big of a unruly crowd, you know, at this particular time. So, you know, we passed on it.
Steve Grzanich in the news a little while ago mentioned these concerts from Ricky Martin and Enrique Iglesias and also Lady Gaga. And I'm wondering, you know, are those in jeopardy? And when are those coming up?
The Lady Gaga concert is going to be August 14th at Wrigley Field. So it's an outdoor venue. That's good. It's later in the summer. That's good. I don't think that's going to be affected at all. Tickets for that show, by the way, are going to go on sale a week from Monday, March the 16th, through LiveNation.com and the usual outlets. The Ricky Martin concert and Enrique Iglesias is going to be in October. October 1st is when that show is going to be. Now, that's at the Allstate Arena. That's even further back in the year. So I don't think that's going to, you know, be affected at all. And tickets for that show are going to go on sale this coming next a week from today, March the 12th. I think the only danger in the Ricky Martin concert is that Anna Belleval from WGN is going to be there, who has had a major crush on Ricky Martin since she was a little girl.
Notify security.
Yeah, I think he may already have a restraining order on her. This will be like really be her first chance to actually meet him. And my friendship with her now is on the line if I can't arrange some sort of something. Which,
yeah, the pressure's on.
Yeah, I just I don't have that power. And plus, I think I legitimately may have a restraining order on her. So.
And I know you love to make baby announcements. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, I love the way that Katy Perry announced her pregnancy. Katy Perry overnight dropped a video from her new album, and in the last 4 seconds of the video, she turns like a side profile, camera pulls out, and you can see very clearly that she's got a baby bump. So she says she's glad. She also confirmed it on Instagram, saying she's glad she doesn't have to suck in her stomach anymore or carry a large purse to conceal it all. The baby is due in the summertime. She has been with actor Orlando Bloom for 4 years. They've been engaged probably a little under a year, I think, something like that. So congratulations to them.
All right, there you go. By the way, did you happen to watch that program on ABC last night, Volcano Live, Dean?
I did not, with the Willendas?
Yeah, Nick Willenda, the seventh generation of the great Willendas. He walked across a volcano in Nicaragua, and apparently people are upset about this because he was wearing a safety harness. And he claimed that he didn't want to wear that, but ABC made him do it. So we actually, don't ask me, Dean, why or how, but do you want to talk to him? He's on the phone. Nick is the real Nick Willenda. It's not a, like a comedy bit.
Nick.
Wait a minute. Let me press his button here. Yeah, there we go.
What an honor.
Hi, Nick. It's Bob Surratt and Dean Richards. Good morning from Chicago.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob and Dean.
I want to know, first of all, how you agreed to talk to those ABC people while you were walking across the volcano. I would have said, don't talk to me. I'm not talking to you. Leave me alone.
Well, as you saw on the show, I was the one who initiated that conversation, and that's very clear on every walk that I do, that if I'm going to talk to any of the commentators or hosts, that it is after I acknowledge them. And I got to a point there where I'd been through, I got through all those gases and heavy winds that were felt almost like a hurricane. I mean, it felt like I was in the middle of a storm at times. But once I got through that, I got pretty confident and comfortable and was comfortable enough to speak with Sage Steele and Chris Harrison.
Isn't it sort of like the Willenda family DNA to not even flinch with anything like this? Nick, was it you that walked across the Chicago River, or another one of your family members?
Me.
Yeah, I thought that was
that
you.
Was
yeah.
Me. Yeah, that was an incredible walk for me, and an incredible time. I of course love Chicago.
Are you still in Nicaragua today?
I am. I'm getting ready to head back to the States, actually, here in a couple hours.
And what do you say about the people who are upset that you were wearing a safety harness? Because apparently they wanted to see you fall into the volcano.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't have seen it, clearly, because the safety harness did nothing but hindered me, which it always does. But, you know, when I'm working with a network that pays my bills and they demand that I wear a tether, I have no choice, or again, I guess I have a choice, but look, I have to support my family. This is a legacy. It is my passion, but it's also a business. And in the end, again, if they're going to pull my paycheck because I pull a tether off, then it's not worth it to me. I think I'd be a fool to do that.
And how do you cope with the winds? You mentioned it got windy there, the heat, the gases. I know you were wearing a mask, but were your eyes burning?
They were a bit, yeah. So, ironically, the gas mask, I guess not ironically, I was concerned that it may not work as well as we'd hoped because those gases and the oxygen is so thin in the air out towards the middle. However, the gas mask worked incredibly well. The goggles were allowing gases to get in at some point because my eyes began to burn, which is natural, being in those sulfuric gases. That's a natural occurrence. But in the end, you know, I did a bunch of blinking, and thank God they didn't fog up. That was a huge concern of mine. And, you know, all's well that ends well. But I will tell you, it was certainly the most difficult walk of my career. Extremely challenging, both physically and mentally. I'm writing a book right now on facing fear. And as I write that book, it really is a lot about the mental fortitude, what it takes to do this stuff, and how we can allow positive or negative into our minds. And I wrote three more chapters in the last 2 weeks leading up to this because it became a battle, for sure, of the mind.
All right, hey, Dean, Nick, anything else for Nick Willenda?
Well, I just wonder, especially since you're writing this book, Nick, if you will coach Bob. He's planning on doing a walk from our building on the 18th floor at 303 East Wacker over to the Wrigley Building. And
absolutely.
Maybe you could help him with that.
I would be honored to, but here's the deal. FacingFearBook.com. Buy the book, read it, and then call me, and I'll help you make the walk.
Hey, I'm wearing a safety harness just doing this show. Thanks, Dean.
And you're not forced to, like I was.
I'm not a what?
You're not forced to wear it.
Oh, right. I'm not forced to wear it, no, but I know I need to. Well, congratulations on the performance on ABC last night. Nick Willenda, great to hear your voice today, and great to know you're alive and well.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Now over to Mark Carman with a special announcement for us.
Oh, I have one, Bob. I wanted that pregnant pause just for more
effect. Get your attention,
here.
Yeah.
My apologies. Tonight, there's a dirty little secret in the rideshare industry. How often are bedbugs Lurking in the Back Seat. WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
No, I'm sorry I woke you up. It's 8:25, and I'm glad I watched that ABC Live thing last night with Nick Walenda walking over an active volcano in Nicaragua. The only reason I turned it on is because Marianne and I were doing Facebook Live many times during weeknights. We do Facebook Live, Facebook.com/Serrata Murciano. And a number of people commented that they were now going to turn on ABC and watch Nick Walenda. And then when I turned it on, I have to confess, I was a little surprised and disappointed that he was wearing the safety harness. But then I thought, well, even if you fall off the wire and start dangling over the volcano, that's pretty scary too. So, but I get that ABC made him wear it. Anyway, that was kind of a nice surprise, having Nick Walenda call in from Nicaragua this morning. How about that? Apparently, on social media, many people were expressing their displeasure with the safety harness. And so there's a story that I'm looking at right now that mentions fans feeling cheated because of the harness. So, you know, I guess, you know, people wanted to see him fall, or they just wanted the threat of that. You know, we all slow down and look at those car crashes, don't we? And then we think, yeah, I'm going to put my life in. I'm going to think about the things that really matter. I'm not going to get upset over the little things because I'm looking at this terrible accident. And then 3 seconds later, you're giving the finger to somebody on the expressway. So, yeah, that's how life works, isn't it?
I mean, you wear a safety harness over a volcano and see how comfortable you feel.
That's right. Yeah, it sounded like, well, he said he didn't want to wear it. And in fact, it kind of hindered him a little bit. So, I don't know. Before we get to the news at 8:30, I need to clear up something from last Friday when Jim Peterick was here. He is a former member of Survivor. He is not a current member of Survivor. Got it? Okay. Now we can move on to the other important business of the day. A couple of entertainment news tidbits Dean didn't get to today. Ever been to Fitzgerald? That nightclub is quite legendary out there in Berwyn, and they have been sold to a Chicago restaurant and club businessman. It was on the market for a couple of years. Bill Fitzgerald opened the club back in 1980. So after 40 years, it's time to retire, Bill says. He transformed it into a musical destination and sold the complex to a guy by the name of Will Duncan, who previously worked for On Center, a restaurant and consortium group that includes Chicago's Thalia Hall and Money Gun and St. Lou's Assembly. Duncan said, "It feels like a dream. I can't wait for people to get to know our place." And Fitzgerald said it was a relief that after a 2.5-year search for a new owner, he's now all done, and he feels the future is bright for Fitzgerald's. Over the years, they became known for iconic guests such as Mavis Staples, Otis Clay. Stevie Ray Vaughan played a couple of shows there before anybody knew who he was. He bought the buildings. Fitzgerald bought the buildings on both sides of the club about 20 years ago, transformed the venue into a music complex with a restaurant, additional stage and tavern called the Sidebar, that hosted piano and jazz acts in a cocktail setting. And the guy who purchased Fitzgerald said he first went there more than 15 years ago, always loved the venue's character. He said he plans on keeping the name and staff, many of whom have spent decades at that establishment. So Fitzgerald's will go on in Berwyn. And in the Tribune, there's a report today, a couple of broadcast network TV pilots will be filming in Chicago this month over at the CineSpace on the west side, that big soundstage complex. And NBC also announced, you probably heard this a while ago, that they will extend their Chicago franchise, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med, for another 3 seasons here. Meanwhile, NBC will be shooting Ordinary Joe, a drama about a guy facing a pivotal decision, and the 3 parallel timelines that unfold depending on whether his choice is based on love, loyalty, or passion. Interesting premise. And also, let's see, with Empire wrapping this season, Fox is eyeing another series that might film here, called The Big Leap. It has an unusual inspiration. It's based on a UK reality series called Big Ballet, which recruited plus-size dancers who were told as children that they weren't thin enough to make it in the world of dance. And according to reports, this adaptation centers on a group of diverse underdogs from all different walks of life who compete to be part of a competition reality series that is putting on a modern hip remake of Swan Lake. What they lack in the traditional dancer body type, they make up for with their edge, wit, and desire to reimagine an iconic story to fit their own mold. No news about Utopia. This was the series that was filming here for a while based on a series, I think, that was in the UK, sort of a thriller. And I shot a scene for them, I think it was last summer, and I haven't heard a thing about the program. I think after I did my part, they scrapped the whole idea. But Utopia supposedly is going to be an Amazon series.
Well, did you get paid? That's the important thing.
Yeah, I did. The check cleared.
Okay.
So I guess
that's
I
good.
Have nothing to complain about, right?
Yep.
But I got to talk to my agent about this typecasting always. TV news anchor, TV news anchor, you know? So, but anyway, we'll keep on the lookout for Utopia news. In sports, we've got Jeremy Colleton with us momentarily. We'll talk to him about the Blackhawks. And also, I wanted to mention this. Mark's in for Dave Ennett today, and I wanted to bring up the fact that White Sox fans are very happy today with Dylan Cease, because not only did he strike out 5 in 4 innings, which I heard you mention, Mark, but apparently he hit 98 on the gun. So he's ready for the season, isn't he?
He's a huge key for them, Bob. He's talking about a guy who came up in the middle of the season last year and came over in the trade with Eloy, which, of course, is a huge win for the White Sox with Jose Quintana, who's been a huge disappointment for the Cubs. So the Sox, the whole key to the season, right, is that rotation stepping up. Giolito coming back and being what he was, but guys like Cease taking a major step forward. Kopech coming up and being a key contributor. Maybe even you get Carlos Rodon back in the middle of the year. But Cease is a high-ceiling guy, and seeing him look as good as he has in the spring is a huge positive for the White Sox.
Hey, Quintana had his winning streaks. He's looked okay this spring so far.
Yeah, he got roped. He got cracked the other day. He's in the final year.
He's been streaky.
Sure, that's true. He has had some streaks. That's a true statement.
Yeah, but so far it looks like the Sox got the better of that deal.
I mean, the Cubs had the Sammy Sosa for George Bell deal back in, what was that, 93? So they won that one. This is going to go the other way in a big-time way for the White Sox.
If you're around Friday, we'll be talking to Peter Greenberg, travel expert who flies like a zillion miles a week, and we'll get his suggestions for travel and being healthy and some airfare deals probably as well. That's tomorrow morning at 7:48. John is coming up after the news.
Greenberg does his show on Saturdays on this radio station.
Good show.
And brags that, rightly so, that each week he does it from a different place in the world.
Nice gig.
And he ain't walking. For those of you that are wondering about the safety of air travel.
You're doing your show from right here. What do you got?
Woman came up to me last night and said, Surratt says to waste good vodka. I said, what?
Oh, yeah, the recipe for
how to make your own Purell.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, have you seen what they've been doing to the prices on those things?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to catch you up on the black market for hand sanitizers. But there's a sentence you don't say very often after the news.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.